to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
I'll take four. I'll take four. I don't care what the price. It's the Bears. If it's some Bear fan one more week. Oh, excuse me, man. I was just going, was buying my Bear tickets. Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, get them early.
Get them now.
Hello, welcome back, Stacks and Jacks. The Bears, the Cubs, all kinds of stuff. The Judge, all kinds of things to talk about today. The Market.
The Irish.
The Irish.
God, they look good.
And what about
the they guy did.
And what about Clemson? S&P futures up 17. We have the big rally coming our way today. I'm assuming that the Canadian trade deal is done. Dow up 209, and we have the NASDAQ up 40. Wow. Frank, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. I'm trying to figure out this Canadian trade deal, actually.
Well, we needed something by last night. Obviously, we got it.
But yeah,
what we're getting is more expensive cars, and Canadians are going to eat a little more cottage cheese.
That's
about it.
See, now, if you've been listening to this, you know, wacky show, Stacks and Jacks, you'd have had the host and various co-hosts have all said at some point here, the thing you got to be worried about in the market is they're going to declare victory. Nobody's going to have any part of detail, just like the Mexican deal, and the market's going to melt up one day. And what do you think is happening today? Now, did that sound clairvoyant or what? Now, and this is maybe a third of the rally we'll get when we declare victory on China, even though the deal might not be any different than the one was before. So, there you go. Figure that out, Lucy.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We just declared victory. We kicked ass on those Canadians, even though we're not exactly sure how we did that. So, there you go.
Thank you. Now I understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a very simpleton explanation, but I think it's pretty close, scary as it may seem. Dollar's up to the moon.
Oh, I think you've definitely reduced it to its lowest common denominator.
I mean, the dollar's to the moon, and gold's getting clobbered, and anything, the value stuff like gold is going down, but we're pumping the market up. I'm sure, you know, this is what we do. Now, the Tesla is up 15% after this settlement, with a huge fine, which the company probably can't afford to pay. We're talking about stocks still going to be under the strike price of that debenture they have to pay in, what, April or something? So, I mean, they're not out of the woods, but it doesn't matter. We're flying up on that place. This is a bizarre world, but enjoy it. Why not? I mean, my clients are going to enjoy it today, so I'll enjoy it too. So, lock yourself in higher, roll your puts up, be happy. What's not to like?
And that's the key thing that you just said, roll your puts up.
Well, we don't want to leave anything dangling in the wind here, shall we say.
No, it's a process of optimization, not maximization of profit.
That's right. So I did not watch the entire Kavanaugh thing. I couldn't, because we were doing some trading and a bunch of other stuff. But is it true that one of my very right-wing friends from a Northwestern grad teaches at the CPS said, like, he goes, Chief, you're starting to wear on me. And I go, why? He goes, remember tonight you were telling me about how even though both sides seem to hate each other, there's places they just won't go. They won't go to campaign financing. They won't go certain places. He goes, you realize, again, I didn't realize, and he could be wrong. I'm just lobbing this out there. If it's wrong, please tweet us in. He goes, they did talk about beer and drinking and everything. They never once mentioned drugs, either side. Was that? Because I'm going to say that if the FBI goes to this place and gets a roster of all these guys, it's going to look like, and the high-end girls' schools would send people over. Two or three things have caught my eye on, or ear on this, which I think are sort of odd. Because they never mention the drugs, even though Bobby Kennedy's kid overdosed at one of these parties. Because it was just like, we're hands-off those. We're willing to tar these people. I'll bet you if you put a list of the 100 and some people or 200 and some people are involved in all this stuff. It'd be like the thing from Animal House, you know, President XYZ Corp, senator from a certain state. I bet the list reads like a who's who of America. It has to.
Well, if you want a good sense of what was happening in high schools in the early 80s among the privileged, there's a book by a guy by the name of Brett Easton, Less Than Zero. And you can't talk about 1982 and 83 without mentioning Quaaludes and cocaine, in addition to the alcohol. These kids had, some of them had unlimited income. Come on.
Well, I saw, when I was in high, or not high school, I saw nothing. God, Marist was like an armed camp. But Notre Dame, it was a little wild. It was right after the Vietnam era. And there were, I never saw coke. I never saw heroin. But everything else was all over the place. I mean, there were lazy Susans with LSD, Corsid, mescaline, you know, uppers, downers, you anything like that. But I never saw coke and I never saw heroin. Was I just too young for that or what?
Well, I didn't see that.
No, it was a little too early when you went for the coke.
Okay.
The heroin was a minority thing in South Bend.
I never saw anybody with a needle, ever. I mean, the idea of Kennedy and Jeff.
I did, but that's just because I grew up in South Bend and stayed up too late.
Well, the Kennedy kid injecting himself in the groin is something. I mean, when I heard that, you know what was sort of interesting is all these articles come out, and I'm not saying anybody there, you know, I don't know who the hell, you know, Kevin and the rest of the world that knows the reporters more than I do. I don't even look and see. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to what's the one where you never put your name on it that all the right wing guys send me the stuff every day. Everybody's got
Drudge Report.
No, what's the one where everybody
Breitbart.
Zero Hedge.
Thanks, Benny. And the ones you pick up bits and pieces from some of these articles, and there was one about this lady is Dr. Ford. This lady, Dr. Ford, is she's scary because she's turning on her own kind. Even her dad won't talk about it. I mean, they're people of privilege as well, and she's turning them. She's the female Roosevelt. She's a traitor to her class. The other women, they don't care because they're. But then this article went on to talk about that they had the girls from the high end, the girls' boarding schools. I guess there are. I mean, I don't know what a boarding school was. I didn't know what a boarding school was until I got to the trading floor, and guys were like, "Boarding school?" I said, "You mean you stayed at high school? What'd you do that for?" I had no idea. Brennan come from the south side; those places even existed.
I didn't either.
Talk about naive. Brennan and I are like the naive twosome here. So why'd you do that? Well, that's where everybody who was cool went. And if you wanted to go to Harvard, you had to go to these places, that kind of thing. Anyway, so they said that there were parties where the privileged girls showed up, and there were parties where the other girls, in South Bend, they would have called them the townies, showed up. And they never were at the same party. Is that wild?
Nope.
They never were there together. If you had, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. It wasn't just, they weren't like open. They were pretty well orchestrated. And, you know, because you get a little bit of a different feel from everybody they talk to. And if you start putting all the bits and pieces together, it's quite a collage. It's pretty interesting. And I'm still jealous, to be honest with you. Just saying. I would have probably
jealous of whom?
I didn't have beach week with beers on the beach and good-looking girls. I was mowing somebody's lawn.
No, you went to Rainbow Beach and hope you didn't get your butt kicked.
Well, that's possible too. But Matty, did you ever do beach week?
God no.
Well, we are all under privilege.
I never did beach week.
Well, if it would have been beach week, it would have been Rainbow Beach probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to Rainbow Beach about six times, and every time I went, it was on get a load of this Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. If you were a serious handball player, you went to Rainbow Beach at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. That's where all the really good handball players played. I was never good enough really to play with those guys. They were spectacular, but it's if you play three wall handball could be one of the toughest games I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Way worse than four wall.
Yeah, I didn't play very much handball, but I did play a little bit, and that was really challenging on three wall.
Well, if you're as big as me, and the left hand wasn't. And I couldn't have pitched with either hand like some of these guys could have. You had to be totally ambidextrous. And I just never had the left-handed, I throw like a girl, basically. But on four-wall, it's okay because you go back and get it off the back wall. But in three-wall, you're back, 120 feet, Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have, you know, if you don't have a serious pitching motion, you're not getting that to the front wall.
Yeah.
And but anyway, so what is, everything is okay this week? The judge is getting in. We got the FBI investigating God knows what.
That won't happen this week. The investigation will take until the end of the week at the earliest. And but it is possible that over the weekend, McConnell will call the Senate in for a vote.
I've also been reading in some places where the two people that will cut bait on somebody so fast are Trump and McConnell. If they think this guy is any bit of a liability, they'll cut him like a trout you don't want.
Well, that may be true.
Well, I want him to be approved. I just came to this conclusion because, and this is my politics speaking, surprise, surprise, he's impeachable. Well, if they get somebody like Amy Coney Barrett, she's unimpeachable no matter what happens. So let him in. Let a Democratic majority in the House and Senate come in, and then you get him on the lie because then they can't do it.
I don't think there's any way on earth they can get somebody else ready to go in time for the election.
Oh, they won't. It'd be hard at this time of the election.
About before swearing in January 1st or whatever the date is.
I'm not so sure they put some guy in a veto session. We'll see. I don't know about
that. They will. McConnell would.
They will. It'll be Amy Coney Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to call it Democrats' bluff that you can't attack a woman like you attacked a man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's reading everything, but I was reading something that says if this thing takes a week and then they find a problem and they go back to another hearing, if you get out to be in 2 or 3 weeks, that they're not going to make it. It'd be real, real hard.
Well, he's obviously lied, or as many people have said over the weekend, mischaracterized his drinking behavior.
Did you see the bar chart of red and blue? I don't know what it was. One of them was a lie or direct answer to a question. His versus hers, that she answered every question pretty much directly, whether mm-hmm. they believe it or not, it's another story. But and then his were fairly evasive. Plus, how do you vilify that this is a witch hunt by people who don't like Trump? And you're at the top of your voice. How is that a Supreme Court judge? Good Lord. I mean, there's no crime.
Oh, it's response to Amy Klobuchar. Have you ever blacked out?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
The response.
I mean, I'll be honest.
I have not.
Well, you know, I haven't either. But I...
Actually, I've never blacked out. I've passed out. I've never been upright and not knowing what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if you call passing out having 3 beers getting to the second inning or the 7th inning of the Cub game and 4 pitching changes into it, being asleep in front of your TV, that I've done.
No, blackout. Oh, well, you're
qualified is different. To be a Supreme Court justice.
I
fell asleep. Ask a cop how many times they've come up on a car that's stopped at a red light and the guy goes, I fell asleep.
Yeah, no, there's a difference in a blackout. A blackout is even if you're conscious and even if you're functioning, you have no memory. It's like temporary amnesia. And certain brain cells don't work in connection with remembering what happened at a certain time. It doesn't mean you can't function. I mean, I know a guy who argued a case before the Supreme Court in a blackout.
Really?
Yeah. It was his one and only time in front of the Supreme Court. He's a recovering alcoholic and has been for a number of years, and he said that was one of the determining things. He had been sober for a while, had prepared for a Supreme Court case, went to Washington, D.C., had a couple of drinks the night before just to settle his nerves, and has no memory of arguing before the Supreme Court. Now, yet, there were no sanctions, so, I mean, he functioned pretty well. He doesn't think that he was drunk at the time or had even been drinking at the time, but it's a brain chemical thing where you just don't remember it, and it's lost forever.
I ran into this guy who was a janitor, right, in one of the schools I worked at. Talk about talking to all if you're going to be, I don't know about today because they're all subcontractor. Boy, if you want to talk to all different people in the world, be a sub janitor and go from school to school week to week with all the different engineers and all those different janitors. Talk about meeting a bunch of people, especially back in those days, after the guys fought in a war and everything. Well, I was at this one place, this, you know, real nice guy, and he says to me, well, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And I said, okay. And he goes, no, I'm like a real alcoholic. And I said, all right, I got a bite. What's a real alcoholic? He goes, the guys who just drink too much and can stop, you know, that's one level. He said, the first time I ever drank with my buddies, first time any of us ever drank, I knew it was different for me than it was for them. He goes, most people would drink, if you drink too much, the next morning you woke up, you're hungover, and you're like, I'm never going to do that again. Maybe like by evening you might grab another cocktail. He's, but even so, you're aware you had too much the night before. The next morning, I couldn't wait to have a drink. Never hungover. If I didn't drink, I got worse during the day. So I had to absolutely go cold turkey. There's no way I can. It's a total chemical thing, and I can't even begin to process it like other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he knew it. I mean, anyway, so there's different grades of this, right?
Yeah, there are.
Some people, I think, can just be totally stressed out for a couple of years, drink too much, and when they get rid of all the other problems, the booze isn't the problem. I mean, it depends on the person.
Right. It depends on the person. There are also people who just kind of outgrow it. They go through a phase in college and maybe in their 20s when they drink a lot, and then they find somebody, they get married, they have a family life, and they just stop drinking or become social drinkers.
Well, it's hard to have 15 drinks and go home and play with the kids.
That's true.
And one becomes more important than the other,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
And that's when I think you're pretty normal in that regard, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is the reason why you hang in the bar, you got nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you have a problem.
Or you have a problem. But a lot of people, I think, don't have a problem, but whatever. Anyway, what I'm saying is you have to, this is a lot of it's dragged up from your past. The question is, do people change? I was not a big proponent because I don't like the idea that you grew up in Washington being essentially the Republicans' attack dog. And I wouldn't like it if it was but this is not something new for me. I mean, people don't, it's not like they think I don't like this guy. I don't like the Democrats who were the CFTC people that were just because they were Tom Daschle's clerk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want people to be as much as they can to know and feel for all Americans that have these jobs. And mm-hmm. we just keep getting people, in my opinion, that don't have that skill. And at some point, I know you got 9 of them, right? And maybe other people have met people this guy has and that type of thing, but people of privilege remain people of privilege in my experience.
Although look at what happened when George Bush tried to nominate Harriet Myers. He got vilified for that as well.
Well, I mean, we've kind of, is there ever going to be in our, what's her name? Ginsburg. Was she like 90 to 10 or something?
Yeah. And so was, almost all of them were really huge numbers. I think the only one that was really close was Clarence Thomas, and he was like 52, 40, 48.
Are we ever going to get somebody in our lifetime that everybody says, yeah, this guy's all right, or this lady's all right? I mean, is this going to be...
I don't know if that'll happen anymore. I think it has become way too politicized. He was like 55... 45.
You had a few Democrats.
There were a few Democrats who went for him. I think Manchin and Heitkamp, maybe even Donnelly, went for him.
Donnelly, I think, did too.
Yeah,
well, he's a guy from Indiana, right?
Yeah, he's a guy from Indiana.
From Notre Dame.
So I think there were three Democrats who went for him, so maybe it was 54 or 55 in favor for him.
Yeah, Donnelly's is a Indiana Democrat. Is that really a Democrat?
The interesting thing about it. The interesting thing about this is that when you look at the way it's split right now, I don't know that we'll ever go back to the point where if a president appoints somebody who is really qualified, regardless of how conservative or liberal he or she is, the majority of senators would vote for him because it's really the president's privilege. I think that was destroyed with what McConnell did on behalf of Merrick Garland.
I do too.
And the Democrats will never forget that. And right now, as long as they have any ability to block anything because of that, I mean, that was worse than exerting the nuclear option for the Supreme Court justice pick for Gorsuch.
I will bet you $1. Or was it 1 hour or 5 hours in Trading Places? 5 hours, wasn't it?
That was $1 standard $1. Bet.
$1, okay. I'll bet you $1.
Unless you're Mitt Romney, it's, $10,000?
Yeah. I'll bet you $1 Mortimer. Somehow or another, if this guy does not get in, And it has to go to the next session, and the Democrats win the Senate, they're going to say, guess what? In somebody's lame duck 2 years, nobody gets in.
Mm-hmm. I fully expect that to happen. If the Democrats somehow gain control of the Senate, and I think that's a very big long shot, I would not be surprised that this seat does not get filled. Either it gets filled before, as Frank mentioned, it gets filled before the swearing in of the new Senate, or it does not get filled until 2020.
And now my question is, if that happens someplace, maybe at 2020, new president, same president, whoever comes in, is there any chance that the sober people, and I'm not meaning alcohol-wise, can sit in a room, the head of the Senate, whoever he is at the time, with the president, and maybe the Republican, Democrat, and say, look, we went 8 months, which was really stupid on your guys' part. So now we went 2 years, which is even stupider on our part to prove a point. Is there some way we can sit down here and possibly be civil about this? Is there any chance that could happen? Could we,
sure,
we could hit bottom and finally even these heads prevail?
Yes, there is. I think that there is, but I do not think that's possible if President Trump is reelected in 2020. I think it would take somebody else more level-headed to do that. But I do think it is possible that both sides will see the folly. Even more likely is that sometime in the next 2 years, at least one more justice dies or retires, given the age of the members of the court.
I don't think you're going to make it through 2 years without somebody. SP Futures up 18. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Brendan Carnan. He's Mr. Frank Fahey. Mr. Matt Weber. Matt, did you get those Bears tickets during break?
I'd like to.
Super Bowl?
Well, I was the only one on the show that I thought they were going to be good. So
I said 8-8.
I said 10-6.
Oh, that's right.
What are you talking about?
Everybody else was 8-8.
No, everyone else was between 6-10 and 8-8. I think maybe one or two people did 9-7, but I'd have to pull
it out. I'd revise mine. I'll bet Minnesota is not as good as I thought. Neither is Green Bay. Oh, Green Bay did beat the Bears. Detroit, talk about what day you play them. Wow. S&P futures up 18, Dow futures up 200, NASDAQ futures up 55. We're celebrating the, what's the name of this thing? It's not the, I'll get the name of it in a second. Oil up 16 cents. 10-year yield back up to 3.085. It was down to 3.04. I'll do the rest of the world here. I got a nice, couple nice quotes about the agreement. DAX up 66.5%, FTSE up 6, well, it's only 0.1%. CAC around up 16.3, so they're not as giddy about all this. Over in Asia, however, we're up a little bit. PCAP 125.5%, Shanghai up 29, that's a full 1%. Over 2,800, Hang Seng up 72.3%. Said we have West Texas up 16, Brent up 24. The spread is $9.50, so pretty far up there. Natural gas 3.07, which is high. About as high as we've seen it. RBOB 209. I'm glad I filled up the Suburban yesterday. Gold down $6, 1189. Silver down 14, 1456. So not good for anything like that. The name of this agreement is they can't be just called like NAFTA 2 because that's not Trump's name, right? It's called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA. So there you have it. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash already on the Kennedy Chief blocking the right lane eastbound just before Harlem Avenue. So that would be on the inbound side of the Kennedy, blocking the right lane there at Harlem. So keep that in mind. As you're further inbound, though, no issues on the Kennedy. Edens looks okay. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson. So give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out on those expressways, but no accidents to report. Southside expressways are still looking good this morning, and out in the suburbs, we're relatively quiet. It looks like we have no major issues on the expressways. We just have some blinking traffic lights up in the northern burbs. Belvedere Road, which is Route 120 at Cedar Lake Road. There's traffic lights flashing red that are causing some congestion as folks navigate around that. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today for game 163 that we'll get to in a minute. It'll be mild temperatures, a high of 72, so that'll feel nice. Overcast skies, not expecting much sunshine, but the game should be dry for the Cubs and the Brewers this afternoon, going up to a high of 72. Not the case in Phoenix. Lots of rain in the forecast today. In fact, it's raining right now and 71 degrees, going up to a rainy 82.
They don't have a playoff game, man.
They do not.
They could also close the roof.
That's right.
That's right.
They very rarely open it. Looking ahead now to that game 163, it'll be this afternoon, noon first pitch, Jose Quintana for the Cubs. The Brewers have not yet announced their starting pitcher. Cubs doubled up the Cardinals yesterday 10-5 to win 95 games on the year, and that was good enough to tie Milwaukee, who won 7 straight games to close out the season. To tie the Cubs. So it'll be Cubs-Brewers game 163 today at noon. The winner will win the division and then play the wild card winner. The loser will have to play in the wild card game tomorrow against either the Dodgers or the Rockies, who are going through the same process. White Sox lost 100 games on the year, right on the button. They fell to the Twins 5-4 and finished at 62-100. Diamondbacks lost to the Padres 4-3, so they wrapped up their season at 82-80. After a really good first half of the season, they really struggled down the stretch. But the big news of the day yesterday for NFL fans, the Chicago Bears looked like world beaters. They took it to Tampa Bay early and often, blowing out the Buccaneers 48-10 at Soldier Field. Bears are now 3-1. Mitch Trubisky had the best game probably ever by a Bears quarterback. He had a perfect rating, 154.6 rating, 19 of 26, 354 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he also ran 3 times for 53 yards, an average of 18 yards per carry. And he had a couple of receivers that contributed as well. Tariq Cohen caught 7 balls for 121 yards and a touchdown. Taylor Gabriel caught 7 balls for 104 yards and 2 touchdowns. And 3 other Bears receivers caught passes from Mitch. So the Bears are 3-1 heading into the bye week. Then they'll take on Miami. The Arizona Cardinals have not won a game yet, and that continued yesterday. They lost to Seattle 20-17. And in Sunday Night Football, it was Baltimore upsetting the Steelers 26-14. Chief.
This is a, I'm going to say this thing, read an article here from Bloomberg, but I read a few earlier as well. If you're a Trump lover, this is an agreement that I can see why the market's up. If this is an article written by David Fickling. We've quoted him in articles before, I believe. Maybe.
We have, yeah.
He said if you, they're changing the name and the guy's pounding his chest, he got everything he wanted, which of course nobody knows what he wanted because it's such a big thing anyway. I'm going to say all the stuff on timber and everything is going to stay in place, all the protectionist stuff that we have against people in Canada. But basically the guy is saying that if you are a Trump supporter, he got what he wanted. And if you're a Trump hater and you're a free trade lover, you got what you wanted because it didn't really do anything. It's the same as it was before. So I guess it's no matter who you are, you're a winner on this one. If you don't mind groveling and saying, well, I can't stand the man, but by the way, this trade agreement's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt you. I mean, they did something on the dairy, a class 7 dry dairy stuff, whatever in God's name that is. The Canadians gave in on that, and it's about $2 million or $3 million is the total amount. It's nothing like timber or anything like that or automobiles. There might be a little fidgeting with the automobile stuff. Basically, it's the same agreement. So, if you're one of those kinds of people, you're happy even though you don't like the process. And if you like the fact that your man made everybody cower, I guess you can take, you know, a victory too. So, is that good, Brendan, Frank, or what? Seems to be the story this morning.
Is it good or is it true and accurate?
Well, I mean, it also said this is the, if you look at the South Korean deal and you look at this deal and you look at the Mexico deal, that seems to be the playbook. You create the firestorm, you have this huge controversy, you make everybody pissed off,
and then
you basically fix with all virtually the same thing you had before.
Mm-hmm.
And look like, in your mind, look like a genius doing it.
That's right. And that way you feed your base.
Right. And, you know, it's a tried and true plan. I mean, mm-hmm. But if you are somebody who cares about the market and cares about, you know, companies' health and so forth, you're probably happy the way it piled out because mm-hmm. your business is a little better. But I still think there was the guy, actually Audrey knows this guy, the guy who's the head of Land O'Lakes. He was quoted, obviously, on his article about, he was interviewed somewhere. He's a big horse guy. The Land O'Lakes people are, if you go to these big horse shows, which, you know, my idea of a horse is something you bet on, right? But Audrey loves horses, and she had a friend that had, these ponies are shown, the ponies are worth $250,000. And what you can't even ride them? It's, you know, it's bizarre. Anyway, but big in all these shows are the Land O'Lakes people. Anyway, he was, he said and this is what's surprising to me about, the politics of this and about the hatred and how people feeling one way or the other. I don't think anybody could possibly be buried as much under this guy's presidency as his base. This guy says he knows 58 farmers personally that in the month of September went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the various tariffs and stuff that they've flown up, they put up right now in protection policies. And you know, the price of milk was ridiculously low to start with. And now this starts to start.
Every pig sold is a $40 loss minimum for a farmer right now.
Yeah. I mean, you went to, those of you who don't, I keep an eye on prices. Everywhere you go, everything is going up, except for pork. And maybe milk. I mean, I don't buy milk, but I don't think I've had a glass of milk in 25 years. 35. Anyway, but you can anywhere you can find. You don't even have to really look on sale. If you can't find pork loin for under $2, you're not looking. And it's you talk about feeding a family for next to nothing. I mean, even spareribs, which people love more than anything else, are under $3 a pound, mm-hmm. and pretty much anywhere if you look. It is kind of a tale of, if you're somebody who actually believes in the old Board of Trade people, Frank, if you look at the price of commodities, you absolutely have to look somebody like me in the face and say, what inflation are you talking about? Because on the low end, there isn't any. Right? Matter of fact, it's probably going the other way. Probably deflation. Yet, in the middle, somewhere between farm and cereal box, somebody's grabbing a chunk. Because it's the boxes keep getting smaller. Who was last week was saying he opened up a tube of toothpaste and the tube was like half the size of the box it was in? Was that Lou?
I think that was Hal, wasn't it?
Might have been Hal's.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
and
pretty good, Frank.
Yeah, pretty good, Frank. All right, so what about GE this morning? GE's up 16%. They dumped the guy's CEO. They take a $2.3 billion charge for the power business. The stock's up 16%. Maddie's going to tell us about the amazing thing in football where the guy broke his leg, flipped off his team, going off the field in a stretcher. Do you believe that, Manny?
Yeah, Earl Thomas from the Seattle Seahawks. I was driving, so I didn't get to watch the actual highlight, but I saw it on Twitter. After a long, heated negotiation where he was trying to get a long-term contract, I think they basically told him, no, so he returns to the field and has to get carted off yesterday. And I don't know the extent of the injury, but it obviously didn't look good. And so
with a broken leg, he's out this year.
Yeah, flipped off the his own bench, basically, the coaching staff and owners.
Pete Carroll, yeah. Gotta love it.
Pete Carroll specifically, but I imagine that was going at the whole front office as well.
I was stunned they have the technology to blur out the finger. Why would you have that available? Just out of curiosity, on a technical, man, you're the technical.
Well, it wasn't blurred out live.
It's not blurring out the finger necessarily, but I mean, they do that for faces. They do that. They've got the capability to just black out certain things for identification. Are you talking about?
It wasn't live.
No, they didn't blur it out.
Okay,
live.
Every time they replayed it, they had it.
Yes, they blurred out the replays live. You saw it.
Oh, okay, all right. I didn't see it live. I saw it. I just assume. So, why do you blur it off on the replay out of curiosity?
I don't. Yeah, we're very conservative on TV ever since the Janet Jackson thing, 15 years ago. You don't need to blur out a middle finger, in my opinion. For God's sake.
Do you, Maddie?
They didn't for Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Maddie? You do not remember because before your time, the other two oldsters, the Monday Night Football, one of the greatest lines ever from Dandy Dan. One team is getting spanked by the other team, right? So they pan out, and it's a brutal night weather-wise. They pan out to this guy, and he's got the Vietnam costume on. When I said a Vietnam costume, uh-huh. He's got the green coat, army coat, which can't buy anymore, right? Because they're all camouflage. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's got the green army coat, and he's got the stocking hat, the knit cap, the beard, and he's sitting out there by himself. So they put the camera on the dude. How he knew the camera was on him in those days, I have no idea. All of a sudden, he flips the bird right at the camera. So Dandy Dan goes, Howard, I think he thinks his team is number one.
Yep.
Anyway, the idea of Dandy Dan was pretty quick. He's been dead a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has been.
Anyway, but then the guy, kid from Notre Dame, got a brutal ankle injury yesterday. That's not good. And then Notre Dame's best player on Saturday, he's out.
Kyler Eifert?
Yeah. And Notre Dame's best guard, he's out for the year. The guy landed on his leg, right, Frank, Saturday?
I didn't hear how badly injured he was.
He's toast. ACL and MCL.
ACL.
Yeah. So plus, he was going to be number one draft pick, so yeah. I don't know how that's going to work out for him. But
so I didn't get to watch the Notre Dame game because I was at a wedding, unfortunately. But I saw they completely dominated Stanford. What happened? Well, I assume you guys watched it.
I watched most of it. I made it to like halfway through the fourth quarter. But the Stanford, that kid is really good on Stanford. Like, Love, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a serious
all
back.
55 yards he got gained? Or
well, he got hurt.
65 yards?
He got hurt.
But he's good. You can see he is. I mean, they really
yeah, he is.
But the kid who was suspended for four games at Notre Dame, and nobody can figure out why, Kelly suspended him. First time he touched the ball, he runs up the middle.
He's like 45 yards.
45, you're like the fastest guy. Well, the quarterback at Notre Dame played really well.
Mm-hmm. And, that kid looks played. Like he might be the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the defense played well, and they just kept – they could run the ball, and Stanford couldn't, which is, you know, essentially what happened. Right, Frank, would you say?
Oh, yeah. And Book has that touch pass over the linebacker down cold. Yeah.
Oh, he made one tremendous pass.
I mean, he had four passes like that where it was like, boy, I haven't seen a college quarterback throw that pass this year.
Mm-hmm.
What is the story of Clemson? You guys familiar with that scene? We talked about it on Friday. They got some guy who's a senior, and he's got 1 year of eligibility left after this year. So he plays. What's the thing, Matty? Kevin was saying on Friday. Is it four games you can play now? And then if
the red shirt rule, so yeah. You can injury red shirt or just playing red shirt. It's four games. If you play four games or less, it doesn't count towards eligibility.
Well, after the fourth game, the coach, who's the coach at Clemson? I should know, but I don't.
Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo.
Yeah, well, he decides he's going to go with this, what, freshman?
Yeah.
And so the kid says, okay, I quit. So I want to go somewhere else and play next year because I'm going to graduate. Now, he's still in school at Clemson because he's got to graduate, right? Now, whether he's going to graduate in December or not, I don't know. But he's got to stay there to graduate so he can go somewhere else. Of course, everybody's going to probably want him for 1 year. So the freshman comes in, and what, he gets bonked in the head in the first quarter. He's out, and now he's out for the year, Manny? How bad did he get whacked? But they claim he's out for, like, the year, out for a while. So they get the announcer, and they go, would you go ask him to come back? And the announcer goes, well, I would. But he's still there, right? I mean, so he still can play.
I assume so, yeah.
I mean, it's not like you file papers.
Plus, he had two other, like, four-star and five-star quarterbacks transfer. They had that Hunter Johnson at Northwestern was a transfer from Clemson.
Really?
And this kid, Zerick Cooper, who was a five-star, transferred to Jacksonville State. Quarterbacks just move around all the time.
Well, they all think they're
going to And he's lucky they still have Wimbush. He only played four games, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the question is there, when you say you quit, they don't take the scholarship back that day to where you're officially off the team or anything like that. They can't add somebody. I mean, how does that even work? I mean, they can't say, okay, well, you only played four games. You only were in school 1 month. I mean, we want the money for the other 10 months. I don't think that happens, does it?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I think that once they're committed for the year, they're committed for the year. Or at least a semester.
But, I mean, you gave them money, and they said mm-hmm. they'd play. And now he says, I'm not playing.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if they'd yank. What do you think, Manny? Are they going to yank half the semester's bribe from the guy?
I have no idea.
You have to pay at the beginning of the year, so I can't imagine. If they throw a kid out for doing that, you know,
for
non-payment of tuition, it's going to be a big stink. We have a lawyer here who'd like that case.
I don't know, that's not Brennan. Lou would take it. I don't know if Brennan wants it.
I don't do litigation.
Yeah, see. All right, so Frank, while we still have you, what are we going to do here? Are we going to buy this rally? I mean, if they're doing the same thing with China, but I mean, we still got our debt issues, we still got other issues. How high can we go, I guess is the question.
Oh God, we can go high. I mean, why are we going to go down? I mean, the big things this week would be either inflation. We all seven members of the Fed Board of Governors are speaking this week, plus Jerome Powell Tuesday afternoon. One of them is capable of saying something incredibly stupid. But if they say no more free money, it's over.
Well, I mean, there's two things. I mean, in my lifetime, let's see, 87, 2000, there had to be three or four more in there, 2008. Every single massive sell-off started from a time when what could possibly go wrong. I mean, every sell-off starts from a top. Every top, what could go wrong, right? Just saying.
Not only what could go wrong, but this is going to last forever.
Well, not only that, yeah. So it's, I don't necessarily see a, huge boulder in the road here, other than the fact that the rates are inching up, and you know how much the we have. I think it's going to be an inflation rate issue. It always is. To where the Fed sees it before anybody else, even though they'll be slow to see it, and they start pulling back a little bit. And we find out just how much of the current rally is built on debt. And that's, you know, or the Italian situation last week didn't even cause a blip there, Frank, did it? The what they all
well, you summed it up at the beginning of the show when you said roll your puts up.
Yeah,
this is a time where you call up PTI Securities and you go, you know, how do I collar this? How do I protect myself to the downside while still participating in the upside?
You know what, Frank? For the first time in a while,
for what options are meant to be used for?
For the first time in a while, we got calls last week and said, "Hey, you guys still do that protected index program? You don't want to dust that one off the shelf?" And I go, "Well, we do it. We haven't had a whole lot of call for it. Well, I think now is the time." And you know what? I'm like, "Whoa, really? Sure, send it in. We'll do it. We'll be happy to do it." Yeah, right now I think you. Although I'm glad I told the guy we'll do it next week, because I'd rather do it today than last week, right? It's up higher.
Well, I think you walk into it. You don't do it all at once. I mean, that's our style
it's up
anyway.
Higher. He's bringing in stock, so his stock is higher. Yeah, I mean, Brennan's one of these guys. He's got $12 million in his 401k, and he's not. You're not bailing out at all, are you, Brennan?
No.
Tomorrow will be higher. Tomorrow it'll be $12,100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going for a rally for Trump tonight. And, isn't that where people are, though, on this? The market can't go down. It wouldn't dare go down with him as president.
It can't.
But it can't.
He's issued an executive order.
That's right. But how many times have people... Do you think that if you could, that the Congress would pass a bill and said the market can only go up, nobody can ever sell? you know they could. Why? I mean, the problem I have with the market going up is it, which is no problem, obviously, for my people. I'm making money for people. But the problem is that somehow or another the market has become something other than the market. That's just me getting grumpy about things or something. I don't think so. It's this whole idea that we're only going to create wealth by assets going up and not by people's necessarily wages going up. Because I talk to people all the time, and when you start bringing somebody from $10 an hour to 12, first of all, that's a good thing. It's 20%. Yeah, well, it is, but I don't see anybody gaining on, you know, your electric bill going up 8%. Everybody tells me that their water bill's up 25-30% in some of the suburbs this year. I mean, somebody going from 10 to 12 bucks is not even remotely keeping pace with the cost of, I think it is, to live.
I agree with that.
I guess people can. I'm not so sure anybody could really argue that with me, right now, to be honest with you. I mean, I think.
Sure they can.
Well, they can, and they would, but I mean, I don't see how anybody. We're not even on the same planet. And the reason why I say that is because in the last 40 years, we haven't come close to keeping pace wage wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you happen to be an asset guy, and somehow or another, in the year 1981. You know, your grandfather croaked and left you $1 million worth of stock, or maybe three houses that you rent out. You've kept pace. Matter of fact, you've probably gone further.
You're ahead of the game.
You're ahead of the game. But just on your regular salary and the same job, not if you get promoted, I don't think you're anywhere near close. I really don't. I mean, I'd like to be in Professor Snar's, because I would suggest things like that to my. I don't know if they do PhD students where he is, but to my master's with honors guys, here's about five topics I'd sure like to research. Why don't you guys research them for your papers? Isn't that what professors do? You get everybody else to do the work for them? Well, you know, it's not a bad thing. But I'd love to have somebody just take a median income factory worker in 1977 and pick 10 or 15 items that you sort of have to have. Now, of course, somebody's going to pick out a TV. Somebody's going to pick out a calculator. Somebody's going to pick out the cost of. They hadn't even invented LASIKs, did they, back then? I mean, there's going to be some things that have come down dramatically. I mean, we know that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sleeping bags, any camping equipment has come down.
Well, because it's all imported, right? So a lot of
right.
that, you can't. Is any of that stuff made here? I mean, I can't even. I mean, what percentage of
clothing? Oh, I can't imagine it is.
I mean, is there anything in IKEA? Is there anything there? Are the meatballs even Swedish?
Oh, God, I'll never have another one if I start thinking about that.
Well, I've never had one, but I just assume they're from China, too. Why would they? Everything else in there is. What I'm saying is you know, how far can you go without your... I was in, this weekend, all I did was I was in Menards the whole weekend. I was buying lumber. And I'm going to say that it's up sort of dramatically from 3 or 4 years ago. And I said to the lady, so get a load of this. Here's from the south side, Brendan. Two observations yesterday morning before it's even 8 o'clock. First, I'm in the Orland Bakery because my workers love the stuff in the Orland Bakery. So, of course, I'm there. Church must have just let out. I got to wait for like 20 people. These three younger people, they walk out the door, and they come back in. And guess why they come back in, Brendan? In a million years, I haven't seen this. You gave me too much change. You must have thought this 5 was a 20, and here you owe me 5, and here's a 20. When's the last time you saw that?
Wow.
I haven't seen that in a long time. But you know, the second thing is, why are there three people coming back with the chains like that? Doesn't the cashier know how to count?
I think when they have so many girls in pit, the same cashier, I think a 20 was in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you use your eyes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm just saying.
And your brain.
Well, I think it was a serious mistake, or I don't know what the deal was, but she made a mistake and they came back. So I'm driving down to Stevenson, of course, with the back door to Suburban open because I got 12-foot lumber in there. And I go by this guy. Actually, he goes by me. Some cretin in his old junkie car, which is, you know, mine's an old junkie truck. He's got the donut tire on, going in excess of 70. What's the max on those things, 50? Buzzing along, staring straight down at his cell phone, not even looking remotely out the front window at 70 miles an hour with his donut on.
Mm-hmm.
So I see one of the nicest things I've seen in a while and one of the stupidest, all within like 5 minutes apart. Just saying. Frank, are we buying this or what are we doing? End of the week, I'm going to say we maybe even declare victory on China, or maybe it's next week, but I'm not so sure I want to sell this here, but I don't know if I want to buy it either. What about you?
I hedge.
All right.
Protect the gains.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Talk to you.
Call PTI Securities.
Yeah, that's for Chief.
The experts. I mean, very few people can do what you do, Tom.
Well, that's
for
true.
For the investor.
That is true. That is true. So, I forget that.
Sometime. Have a great one, guys.
All right, thank you.
You too.
The S&P futures up 18. We're going to have Josh, Mr. Sachs Machine, when we come back. He's going to tell us about the playoffs. His Rockies got in, so he was right. He was actually, he's right in all of them. The Dodgers and he thought St. Louis was out.
When they tie, then you can be right on everything.
I think he thought St. Louis was going to get ahead of the Dodgers. Anyway, we'll talk to him when we come back. Sox and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
So, Matt Weber, if you walked in the morning, or I walked in the morning, and the first headline I see is Stocks and Jocks shares jump 16% after Stocks and Jocks dumps chief. GE shares pop 16% after company dumps Flannery as CEO. After all the years in the business, what do the guys say in a natural? After all these years in the business, I'm wet nurse to a dead from the neck. After all these years in the business, they boot me out and the stock goes up. SP futures up 1575, Dow futures up 183, NASDAQ futures up 49. If you haven't heard by now, obviously you've been listening to us, you've heard it that the U.S., the negotiators have met the deadline last night. Canada has joined the new trade agreement with Mexico. Details to follow, sort of as they always do. The initial rumors are not much has changed. They gave a little bit on the dairy stuff, and we gave a little bit somewhere else, but basically declaring victory over a fire that maybe never was, but that's one man's opinion. Josh, how are you, buddy?
I am doing well. How are you guys this morning?
All right. We were debating your calls before the break, and I'm going to say that you were right everywhere by the skin of your teeth, except I think you had the Cardinals over the Dodgers.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked on how the last week ended in the regular season, mainly because I wasn't expecting the Rockies to win 8 straight games at one point. And I thought the Cardinals were in a great position of making the postseason, but their defense really hurt them at the final couple of weeks of the season. And it opened the door for a team like the Rockies, who not only caught the St. Louis Cardinals, but they forced Game 163 to decide on who will win the National League West, and the Milwaukee Brewers have been hot as well, and I can't believe that the Brewers have caught the Chicago Cubs and forced Game 163. So it's a pretty exciting day for baseball fans that typically you get one Game 163 once in a great while, but today we get two Game 163s to decide the divisions in the National League Central and West.
Now when you say Game 163, it means that all statistics from the day game are of the season.
That is correct.
And the ticket prices are the same as for the rest of the season.
I can't say.
No, that's true. let's put it this way. When I had season tickets, these are. Playoff games are. The one in 1998.
Yeah.
They were the same. Matter of fact, they sent me the, when I got my book of tickets, back when they used to send tickets, Josh, there was a ticket in there for 163, and they just charge your account if you wanted it, if you wanted them.
Well, the Chicago Cubs had a lottery last night, so you had to sign up at Cubs.com to participate in the lottery, and then you were notified by email if you were eligible to buy tickets for today's game.
Well, there's, I'm gonna, what does the Wrigley hold now, 41 or something?
I think so. It's around 40,000.
I'm gonna guess that the season ticket load is 29, which is pretty darn high. So there's probably 8 to 10 that are not on season ticket plans. So that's what they're laddering out, I would imagine.
Yeah, the capacity officially is 41,649 right now, with all the renovations they've done over the last 5 or 10 years. So yeah, if it's a 29,000 base, you got about 12,000 or so tickets that are up for grabs.
Now, I'm going to say, like the Sox, and you know more about this than me, Josh. Depending on the night, they have a different base because they have so many of those 10 and 12 and 20 ticket plans that mm-hmm. you could have a base of 5,000 on a Tuesday, and yet that base could be 10,000 on a Wednesday because it's one of those plan nights, right?
Right. Yeah, their base is much heavier on the weekends than it is during the week.
And I'm going to guess the Cubs don't have many of those plans. They might have. Do they have a 10-game plan, Maddie, for some of those extra seats or not? I don't think they do, but maybe they do.
I don't think they do. I know they have in years past when they were really rebuilding, 5, 6 years ago. I think they had a lot of those, and I don't think they have them anymore. You're either a full-season ticket holder or not. By the way, I mean, what were the percentages, Josh? I mean, I know you don't know off the top of your head, but 10 days ago, you're looking at the Brewers had to win 9 out of 10, and the Cubs had to go 6-4 for them to tie, and that's what happened. The Dodgers had to go 7-3. The Rockies had to win 9 out of 10 for those two teams to tie, and that's what happened. I mean, it really when you're living it day to day, it doesn't seem that crazy, but when you look at it now and you realize what had to happen over 10 days, and it did, it's pretty extraordinary.
Well, Diamondbacks had to lose too because they had to lose almost everything, both to get them out of it and get the other guys in.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks were just horrific in the month of September.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks actually had a division lead on the first of every month during the regular season. They were in first place on September 1st in the National League West, and they collapsed. But, Maddie, back to your point, 10 games ago, the St. Louis Cardinals had an 80% chance of making the postseason. That's how quickly things turned on its head in the National League, especially in the Central and the West. The Philadelphia Phillies also were a team that were in playoff contention for a really long time, and they ended up finishing in third place as the Washington Nationals passed them by. So, yeah, the month of September has been a crazy one in the National League, and I'm expecting that craziness to continue into the postseason, where I want to say the Cubs and the Dodgers are still the favorites, but I don't think anyone can say that with 100% certainty. This is going to be the league with the chaos results, while in the American League, we have a better feeling on how that can turn out.
I'm going to, this is blasphemy, I'm going to say right now, given the shape of the bullpens and stuff, the Brewers are a better team than the Cubs.
Well, looking at game 163, between the Brewers and Cubs, it's been a really, it's a story of two different halves. On June 11th, the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers had played 9 games against each other. And the Cubs won 8 out of those 9 games. They were 8-1 against Milwaukee. Since June 11th, 10 games, the Milwaukee Brewers are 7-3 against the Cubs.
That's exactly my point. Yeah.
So this is going to be fascinating game 163 because the Milwaukee Brewers are coming in with a lot of confidence. Their first baseman, Jesus Aguilar, told Wisconsin media after last night's game against the Detroit Tigers that the Chicago Cubs should be worried because there's bad news coming for them. And if everybody in that clubhouse for the Brewers believes that, for a Cubs team that I don't know if I can say that they're playing with a high level of confidence. It was great to see them have the game they had yesterday against the St. Louis Cardinals because that's the Cubs team that we've been expecting to see all season long. And this Cubs team still found a way to win 95 games and tie for the best record in the National League despite all the injuries and despite all the struggles they have had, especially offensively. But this is a red-hot Milwaukee Brewers team, and they have the best player in the National League right now in Christian Yelich. Can they withstand this surge by the Milwaukee Brewers, and I think that the Chicago Cubs have the right guy on the mound to face the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's Jose Quintana. And Quintana this year, in 6 starts already against the Milwaukee Brewers, he's 4-1 with a 2.17 ERA. So if you need someone for the Cubs to slow down this Milwaukee Brewers offense, you've got the right guy today starting.
Well, I think that even if the Cubs win today, the Brewers spank the Dodgers tomorrow and are right back playing the Brewers.
Yeah, they could be facing each other for a long time in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're ready for. I don't think they want 6 more games against the Brewers right about now.
So when does Milwaukee have to announce their starting pitcher? It's crazy to me that they're still undecided. You know, 4.5 hours before first pitch.
Asking as far as people I know in the Milwaukee and Madison media market, they're expecting Joey Chacin to be starting for the Milwaukee Brewers today. They don't know how long Chacin will go for the Brewers. They are expecting to be heavy bullpen. The Brewers really want, either the Brewers or Cubs really want to win this game because you gain an extra day off, right? The loser of this game has to play tomorrow. Now, the good news is the loser of this game doesn't have to travel very far. If the Brewers lose, no worries. They have to travel 1.5 hours up to Milwaukee to play that game, the wild card game at Miller Park. On the other side, the Dodgers and Rockies, the Dodgers have it easy. They finished the season in San Francisco, and they flew down to Los Angeles. So at least they're within the same state. The Rockies were in Denver, and after their win against the Nationals yesterday, they had to hop on a plane, fly to Los Angeles. If they lose that game to the Dodgers, they have to fly all the way to Milwaukee or Chicago to play a game tomorrow. That's going to be really difficult for any team to get through that gauntlet. So for the Brewers and Cubs, this game is very important to gain that extra day off. For the Rockies and Dodgers, it may even be more important because that loser's got to fly halfway across the country to play tomorrow.
See, Josh, you're showing your if you were older, you'd say these guys, they're a bunch of weenies. Back in the day, they didn't have charters. They would actually have to go to the airport and wait.
They also used to take trains.
Well, they didn't take a train to Denver. Yeah. But can you imagine going to the Denver airport and waiting for a plane, sitting there like everybody else waiting for a plane to L.A. and trying to get, you know, 50 people on a plane? I mean, yeah. But no, you're right. It gets to you. I mean, but I think it's pretty darn exciting. I just don't, so the Cubs luck out if they lose today, they've got Lester tomorrow, right? Because that would be an abnormal rest.
Correct.
So they're reasonably set up. Is this? I know we've got this interleague play now for a couple of years. Am I the only one questioning about the last 3 games of the year? You'd be playing somebody like Detroit, wandering in the Montreal or in the Milwaukee, and I'm going, what are they doing playing Detroit the last 3 games of the year? And when Detroit's so far out of it, they don't even know if they want to show up. And it's not like anybody were ducks in baseball. They don't, but still, it seemed kind of odd to me that you were not playing a division team. The Cubs are playing the Cardinals that are in it. It seemed like the motivation was a little different.
Yeah, well, when you're creating a schedule, though, you don't know who's going to be good or who's going to be bad. You have a good feeling on who could be good or who could be bad, but you don't know how it'll end up being. But I do agree with you. It is weird to have the last series of your season in interleague series. Yeah. That I do agree with you, Chief, that was weird on how the schedule makers have done it, and I prefer that they don't do that in the upcoming future schedules. I have to check the 2019 schedules if they have been released to see if there's another situation like that. But yeah, it is weird that the Milwaukee Brewers got to face the Detroit Tigers. Now, Detroit and Milwaukee, they were old American League rivals back in the day, but yeah, for this last series to be interleague series, that is a bit weird, and I hope the schedule makers can avoid that in upcoming years.
The other weird thing about the interleague schedule is that the teams don't play the same teams because you don't play all the teams in the other league each year. So sometimes you're going to get a matchup where you're playing a weaker division or weaker teams that your rival doesn't. I mean, look at everybody that the Dodgers played versus who the Cubs played in the interleague series.
Well, but the Cubs should have played the same people the Brewers played.
Mm-hmm. And they did. Yeah, and both teams faced the National League Central. Mm-hmm. American League Central.
What, are you the thing that there's so many good teams in, well, there's so many teams in baseball. I would love to strike the, I don't really need 19 games that are Reds every year at Pittsburgh. It's too many. Can't you cut it to 16 or 17? I mean, 19 seems a lot to me, anyway. I mean,
well, you look at the.
Well, if you're a Cubs fan, it's not enough.
I suppose, but.
You won 25 or 30 games against the Reds.
It just seems like it's kind of a
win loss record.
It just seems like a lot against one team. Like, I mean, for a while, I mean, early in the year, look, they had home and homes like four times on much with Cincinnati, like in the first 2 months of the season.
Well, it makes me question how good the Indians are, for example, when they play the Twins, yeah. Tigers, White Sox, and Royals 76 mm-hmm. times or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they still only finished 20 games above 500.
The Cleveland Indians are below 500 outside of the American League Central.
We had this guest on a few months ago named Josh. God, who was that guy? And he said something about Cleveland's in first place under 500, but they haven't played the Sox yet. That'll change. I don't know if you remember saying that, Josh, but I do. It was pretty funny, and you were right.
Yeah, and they owned the White Sox this year. I think they ended up finishing 15-4 against the Chicago White Sox this year. So the Indians are 20 games above 500, and the White Sox contributed to 11 of those games above 500.
Well, so I think we'll get your predictions here in a few minutes, but before that, let's put a bow on the 2018 White Sox, 62-100. Some positives, obviously a lot of negatives, and then some injuries, which didn't help.
Yeah, the strikeouts is just amazing.
What the...
The strikeouts, it's funny because if you ask Rick Hahn, he doesn't think it's that big of an issue. If you're big into sabermetrics, a strikeout is just an out. It's uh-huh. the same as grounding out to second base because an out is an out. The problem with the strikeouts for the Chicago White Sox this year is that you had a lot of strikeouts looking, and it just seemed like a lot of the hitters were very passive, and they became passive as the season progressed. And the hitting philosophy of hitting coach Todd Severson is selective aggression. Be aggressive against pitches within the strike zone. That didn't happen. And the White Sox are not making a lot of good contact on pitches in the zone. And they're still chasing pitches as well, which kind of counters the idea that, oh, they have really good plate discipline. They know what a strike is and they know what a ball is. That's not necessarily true. And it is most concerning with Yoan Moncada, who struck out 217 times this year. He struck out more than 33% of the time. I understand when a GM says that a strikeout is not that big of a deal, but we have been noticing a trend as of late in Major League Baseball that the top offenses are towards the bottom 10 teams in strikeouts. They're not striking out as often. They are putting the ball in play or they're taking their walks. And that is going to have to be something that the White Sox will have to radically change in their offensive approach. It's okay if a guy strikes out 100 times in a season. That's just the type of baseball that we play in 2018. But when you have when you got guys striking out 33% of the time, that they're not going to give themselves an opportunity to have a league average on base percentage, which means you're not going to give yourself an opportunity to have a league average on base percentage of the team, and you're not going to give yourself a chance to have league average slugging percentage as well. And that's the reason why the White Sox didn't even score 650 runs on the season. So this is something that in order for the White Sox to go from rebuilder to contender, they definitely need to improve upon their offense. And that's one of the big takeaways from the 62-100 loss 2018 White Sox team. But, you know, Maddie, it'll be interesting to see how the White Sox approach this offseason. This free agency class is too good to ignore, which what I mean by that is just to sit around and not sign anyone. I think the White Sox should be aggressive on trying to approach Manny Machado, but I don't know if Manny Machado wants to join a 100-loss team after his stint with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the injuries, if the White Sox can get everyone healthy as far as their prospects and they can gain significant development time, then I think they're still on track to be a contending team in 2020. But if it's a repeat of this year where seven of the top 15 prospects miss significant time, a half season or more, because of injuries, then I'm not sure about 2020. Because if you don't have your top prospects playing games and developing, you're going to have a very difficult time convincing me that all of a sudden the switch is going to flip and this team is going to have a season like the Atlanta Braves did this year. So there's a couple of things that are out of the White Sox hands. You can't control injuries. but there are some things that they can control, and they need to have a revamped offensive philosophy to give themselves a fighting chance to continue developing into a team from a rebuilder to contender.
Well, what, Josh, when you, it seems to me, I'll draw an analogy, it's almost like trading. You don't need, if you're good, you don't need, quote, luck, but you need an absence of bad luck, which is slightly different.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cubs went through a couple iterations, one with Jim Hendry, where he drafted people, and two of the three really got hurt, the Big Chop Choi and the other guy, Corey Patterson. Now, I'm not saying they were as good as the current group, but they were good, and they got hurt, and were pretty much out of baseball, and there have been a couple of pitchers.
And that's not even talking about Pryor and those guys.
But now this group has stayed fairly healthy. Now, one of the good things is they drafted him out of college. Of course, they drafted Pryor out of college, too.
Yep.
But they hung in there, and the Sox are having a little bit more bad luck in that regard. But the strikeout thing, the American League is a little different because you got all these guys on the Yankees, but the number one home run hitter in the National League was 37. There's guys in their, in the low 30s. I mean, going back to my time in baseball, you don't get to be, it's one thing for Sammy Sosa to strike out that many times hitting 60 home runs. It's quite another if you're hacking away hitting 30 or 25. I mean, when you're striking out 150 times a year, I mean, what are you doing up there? Touch the ball, will you? Jeez.
By the way, to basically to Josh's point, I pulled up team strikeouts, and the top half are mostly playoff teams. Cleveland had the fewest strikeouts in baseball. Houston is second. Seattle, who finished well above 500, is third. Boston, best team in baseball, is fifth. Atlanta, seventh. The Cubs are 13th, the Cardinals, who were well above 500, are 14th, and Oakland, who's a playoff team, is 15th. So, obviously the Yankees are not in that list, the Dodgers are not in that list, those teams strike out a lot, but
the Yankees hit a record number of home runs.
Right, but yep. Pretty much all of the playoff teams are in the upper half of the lowest strikeouts.
And while it's true that an out may still be an out for sabermetrics, when you put the ball in play, a lot of things can happen. It can just find a little spot between fielders, it can be an error. There are a lot more things that can happen if you put the ball in play that don't happen when you strike out and don't make contact.
I would go with it. If there's two outs and nobody in, there's not much different. But if there's no outs or one out and a guy in third base and you get the big whiff on some big swing by a foot as opposed to a ground ball or a fly ball that gets the guy in, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the sabermetrics deals with that. There must be something. They got a statistic for everything, but
And I read a little stat over the weekend that in his career, the highest number of strikeouts that Joe DiMaggio had in any year was 39.
Well, Yogi Berra was about like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And their averages weren't that much higher. They somehow just got it in play. Josh, over the last month of the year, the team I was pretty much impressed with. I think the Pirates are a contender next year. Of course, a million people change between now and then, but they looked like they were at a strong September, and maybe the first half of the year when they had people hurt. Right now, I'm not so sure they don't start as almost a playoff team. I mean, is there anybody else?
They could challenge in the National League Central. They have a good blend of youth on that Pirates team that gained significant experience this year, and of course, adding Chris Archer to help lead that rotation will make the Pirates an interesting pick. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pirates are a dark horse team that pundits pick to be a surprise in 2019.
Well, then, who's the color guy on radio? Is it TV, Manny Deshaies?
Yeah.
When the Pirates came here last week for the four-game series, he goes, we're not talking about a pushover. He goes, three of these guys have been three of the best pitchers in baseball since the All-Star break. And the Cubs barely escaped that series with two wins. I mean, he says, we're not going up against the chumps here. I mean, these guys are real pitchers. Those guys, he said they all had earned run averages under 2.5 since the All-Star break or something? All three of the guys?
Yeah, there's no doubt the Cubs, they had, no off day this week, and the Brewers had Thursday off, and then they had to play the Pirates, who you mentioned, three out of the four starters were really, really good, highlighted by Trevor Williams, but, I mean, those guys were really hot, and then you play the Cardinals, who, going into that series, were fighting for the playoff lives, and they put three good starters out there. So, would you have liked the Cubs to have done better than 4-3 in that stretch?
I think they played pretty solid.
Yes, of course you would, it's the offense struggles, it was a big deal to put 10 runs up yesterday against Flaherty because that guy's really good.
Yeah. Well, but this kid at Milwaukee.
I agree as far as the Cubs' offense. I think the biggest thing for the National League, for all of the teams that are participating, is who's got the best bullpen. Because for those that are listening, if you didn't watch last year's postseason, and now because your team is in the postseason, you're going to be watching, these games are going to be played much differently than what you are expecting. Managers will be going to the bullpen very quickly. As a matter of fact, I believe in Oakland and New York, that one-game playoff in the American League wild card, neither team is using a starting pitcher. And the reason is that they're trying to avoid T-top, which is times to the order penalty, that they don't want hitters to face a pitcher multiple times in a game. And in today's game between the Cubs and Brewers, I think it's going to be played out normally, where we're expecting to see a starting pitcher go 5-6 innings. But then it's going to go into the bullpen. And does anyone have 100% confidence that the Cubs' bullpen is going to be able to maintain game after game a high performance level where they don't have a meltdown? And the thing is that I don't know if I have any confidence in any of the National League's team's bullpens. So the innings 6 through 9 could be very chaotic in the National League. And that's why, you know, Matty, to your point, it was good to see the Cubs' offense really capitalize, especially in the later innings, because I think they're going to have to do that in order to maintain a long postseason run. And I would say that for any National League team, the offense that can get hot and they can hit against bullpen arms are going to win this National League pennant, in my opinion.
But, Josh, aren't you – I'm a little concerned. I'll ask him when to let you go. But right now, I'd be stunned. I'd be very happy. But I'd be stunned if all of a sudden, out of the blue, Schwarber or Bryant or somebody becomes like this guy in Milwaukee. They just haven't done anything now for months. The catcher looked better yesterday. Contreras, he actually hit the ball hard.
Bryant looked better yesterday too.
He looked a little better, but they're not.
Schwarber looks lost. Yeah, Contreras has looked lost for 2 months.
Elmore is a little better maybe, but and the right fielder Hayward, he was hitting real well, and now he's not after the hamstring. So I don't see a guy coming out of there and having. Going 3-for-4 today and hitting a home run and a double like this guy in Milwaukee is probably going to do. I mean, when I say probably, he sure shows like he's going to.
The beauty of baseball is that you can go 2-for-40, and then your next 40 at bats, you go 20-for-40.
Well, they have
baseball is weird.
Well, Murphy certainly has that capability. I mean, he could be your guy, I suppose.
Yeah. So we'll see. I know Christian Yelich has been red hot, but that does not mean that he's going to be red hot in the postseason. Somebody else could surprise. Somebody else could step up. It's what makes the playoffs so entertaining to watch. But, Maddie, I'm sure you're going to ask me as far as my World Series prediction. Before the year, I said New York Yankees and Chicago Cubs. I'm going to stick with that. I do think that the Yankees will win the wild card. I do think the Yankees are going to upset the Boston Red Sox in the divisional series. And I think the Yankees are going to find a way to beat the Houston Astros in 7 games.
Wow.
And in the National League, I think it's inevitable. It just seems like we're going to have Cubs and Dodgers in the National League Championship Series to face each other. I'm sure it'll go 6 or 7 games, but this time the Cubs get revenge on the Dodgers and make it into the World Series.
That'd be third straight season, Cubs-Dodgers NLCS, if that were to happen.
Yeah, they're becoming like the 49ers and Cowboys in the 90s, where it just seemed that those two teams always played each other in the NFC Championship game.
Josh?
They are the two best teams in the National League.
We've got to let you go, except you just gave a grabber to the owner of the Tripoli Tap, the Boston Bar. we'll have you back soon, buddy. SP Futures up 14.75. Be right back, Mr. David Edelman. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now.
Right here, right now, right now. Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Bernie Cornell, Mr. David Animal II, Matt Weber on the board. Big news this morning is we've made the deadline last night, which is really kind of nobody's surprise, I guess. Now we have Canada joining the agreement to replace NAFTA. It's not being called NAFTA. The word free is out, and it's not even actually like a trade agreement. It's whatever it is. It's definitely not supposedly free. Details are that not much has changed, but the fact is, it's definitely a good settlement. If you're anti-administration, it's a good settlement for you because it's pretty free. So they actually sort of, you got what you wanted. You may not like the way you got it, but you got it. So S&P futures up 15, Dow futures up 171, NASDAQ futures up 46, Dow was up over 200, but still it's pretty strong here. Oil up 21 cents, 10-year yield 3.078, so going back up here. Did not go below 3, probably dipped under 3.04 for a second, but basically has held that number, at least so far. DAX up 59.5%, FTSE up 9.1%, CAC around up 14.3%, so up but not as ebullient as our markets here. Nikkei up 125.5%, Shanghai up 29%, it's a full 1%, Hang Seng up 72.2%, because if we hold serve here, same thing with South Korea, Mexico, now Canada, probably, this is one man talking, we'll have some sort of a declared victory on China before the election, I would guess, but we'll see how that plays out. Again, oil up 21 cents, West Texas, Brent up 35, the spread is $9.50, natural gas 3.09, it's up 8 cents, Brent. This is the biggest move we've seen in natural gas in like a really long time. RBOB, it's up 0.2%, 2.089, but gold went right back. It's only down $3 now, 2.28%, and silver's only down 10 cents, so maybe we found a bottom there, and yet another bottom we maybe have found there. Eddie, what do you got for us? What do they say when you keep picking bottoms? You get stinky fingers or something?
I've heard that.
Yes. Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues already to report on a Monday morning. Veterans Memorial, I-355. Northbound, just before Bruce Road in the southwestern burbs, we have a crash blocking the two right lanes. This is causing all kinds of issues on 355 out in the suburbs. So keep that in mind if that's part of your daily commute. It's going to be a while as the crews work to get that cleared up. Everything else looking good out there on the south side. No issues on the Dan Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Normal volumes on the Stevenson. Eisenhower starting to build heavily, but no accidents to report. Earlier crash on the Kennedy at Harlem is all clear, but now we're an hour from O'Hare into downtown. Eden's looking okay. Downtown in the Gold Coast, Walton between Dearborn and Clark is closed due to filming, so this is affecting the number 22 Clark buses northbound have been rerouted as that filming.
Hey, why are you not in the
film?
In the, I don't know. I would like to be, but that's going to be closed until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. And also in the northern suburbs, we have a crash, Belvedere Road, Route 120 at Route 83, which is Barron Boulevard, that's causing some delays. Weather today, cloudy, overcast skies, could have some showers in the area, but should be dry for this afternoon's game 163 at Wrigley, so that's good news. A high temperature of 72. Right now it's overcast and 58 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, lots of rain in the forecast today, a high of 82. Right now it's rainy and 72. In sports, Cubs and Brewers are tied 95 and 67 overall as both teams won yesterday. Cubs beat the Cardinals 10-5. So they will play game number 163. All stats count toward regular season statistics, as this is a one-game tiebreaker to decide the division winner. Loser will host the wild card tomorrow. It'll be Jose Quintana versus an undecided, although Josh had some thoughts on who the Brewers were going to put out there. So yeah, 95 wins, not good enough to win the NL Central. White Sox finished 62-100. They lost to the Twins yesterday 5-4. Diamondbacks finished at 82-80. They lost to the Padres 4-3. In football, the Bears blew out Tampa Bay 48-10 yesterday. Mitch Trubisky threw 6 touchdown passes. He also rushed for 50-plus yards on 3 carries. Bears are now 3-1 heading into their bye week. Cardinals lost to the Seahawks 20-17. Sunday Night Football, it was the Ravens over the Steelers 26-14. Chief.
Your buddy on the Bulls is hurt, huh? Hi, David.
Hello.
Hello. You there? We got you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you mean Markkanen?
Yeah, Benny, your buddy's out for what, 6-8 weeks?
Yeah, I saw that headline, but I didn't read into it. This was, what, 3 days ago?
He,
yeah.
He whacked his elbow somehow.
I was traveling all weekend, so I was a little out of touch.
It doesn't need surgery, but it needs to be immobilized for a month or 3 weeks.
That's not ideal.
No, as long as he's not getting cut on, it'll heal. You know, and it's not like the NBA season isn't long enough.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, good Lord. We're not even, what are we? We're barely in October. When do they end? Thanksgiving or something? You know, the Bulls actually could make them. Some people were talking about the Cavaliers still being the best team in the East without LeBron. I don't see that.
That's a hard no.
Yeah.
The Celtics are the best team in the East, and I don't think it's close. And then the Raptors, I would say, are probably number two. And then I think there's a huge step down from 3 through 8.
What is the scoop?
And it could
be
anyone.
The Bucks are going to be up there, maybe 3 or 4.
I could easily see the Bucks being 3 or 4, no doubt about it.
What is the story with, and where is he going to go, Jimmy Butler?
Last I heard is the Heat were the front runners to get him, but yeah, I don't know.
What is with him and Tibbs? They don't like each other anymore?
No, the rumors are that Butler was hooking up with his teammates' wives and girlfriends and all kinds of crap, and they. Their best player, Karl-Anthony Towns, who they just signed to a long-term deal, basically said it's him or me, and then they just signed him to a long-term deal, so they obviously chose him.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he's a guy from...
he's a guy that they drafted number one overall out of Kentucky.
He's real good.
And
right?
He's really good, yeah. And, yeah, so...
But he doesn't play a lot of defense, and that supposedly was another thing that Butler said. You know, Tibbs is a defensive coach. I play defense, and Towns doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, if the rumors that Manny just said, that kind of undercuts a lot of team chemistry.
He's playing offense somewhere.
Yeah, and like I said, those are just rumors, but that's what I've heard from a lot of people in NBA circles who are not usually wrong about that type of stuff. And so they said Butler's gotta go. So, well, and frankly, I heard some of that was going on with the Bulls too. That you know, it wasn't just I don't like Hoiberg. It was other stuff too.
Well, he didn't like Rose, for sure, when they were together.
Yeah.
Well, he's come a long way from when he was first drafted as a, you know, kind of an innocent guy who worked his way into the rotation and played very well.
Yes, yes.
He's really changed in his persona.
Well, if you're looking for the ladies, shall we say, at that level, I think you should be able to go outside the room and be successful.
I would hope so.
You would think.
one would think. I think they'd probably come to you. I don't even know if you have to chase them all that much. Anyway, the one thing I will say, that being the only guy on the floor playing defense, it's happened to me a few times back in my day, is a lonely feeling. It's a lot of work, and if you're the only guy doing it, it doesn't get you anywhere.
I 100% agree.
Yep.
I mean, either you're all into it or you're not. There's either team defense or there's no defense, the way I look at it.
Yeah, in basketball, you can't have – it's not like baseball where if you're a good shortstop and the ball comes to you and you make the play. In basketball, you could play the best defense in the world. If the other four guys are playing Ole defense, it doesn't matter.
No, they just – why waste the effort? David, we have step one, I guess, of declare victory and minor melt-up today. Is this the China step going to happen right before the election? I mean, God, you could write this playbook, for God's sake. Just saying.
And, you know, it's hard to say, but if it isn't right before the election, it might be soon after because, you know, and I know Xi is strong and, you know, lifetime term, as long as he wants to be president, he's president and all that stuff. And, you know, the last thing he wants to do is look weak and, you know, have the upstarts, you know, rebel. But if he looks around and he says, you know, U.S. made a deal with Mexico, made one with Canada, has something in the works. We don't know exactly how firm with Europe. Now there's at least a tentative agreement or strong discussion or whatever you want to call it with Japan and South Korea. How long does it take before some of these manufacturers say, you know, okay, fine, we won't, you know, have made in China. We'll get that bamboo and stuff made in, you know, Singapore and South Korea and Vietnam and whatever. It's not like they're the only choice, even if they have a huge step ahead. So I got to think that that Canada coming to the table, as well as South Korea and Japan, will put some pretty big pressure on China to make a deal, whether it's, you know, October 31st, right before the election, or whether it's, you know, January 21st or 25th or whatever after the new Congress is in. That I don't know, but I do think that window between the end of October and third week of January, they're going to have to make a deal.
Well, it's when you talk about pressure, and, you know, again, we are not, much as I've said a bunch of times, we should have the regular guy lobby, and everybody should send, you know, we should have 1,000 people sending $1,000 to Stocks and Jocks lobby, and we'll try and get some good guys in office. Nobody wants to do that because everybody thinks you shouldn't have to. I'm going to say that the amount of pressure on the current administration, even though the president is probably unpressurable on a personal level, I'm going to say the amount of pressure he's getting from people running was about a tsunami. I mean, because I was mentioned earlier, David, you probably want to listen in, that the gentleman who's he's is that the name of the family? Land of Lakes. Anyway, whatever the family is that owns Land of Lakes, which has been around forever. I said earlier that they're big into horses, so Audrey met him, and they'd have, like, you know, five of the kids. It'd be at some big, huge sporting horse events where they put the chandeliers up in the ring and put the floor down and have the big, huge, you know, tuxedo thing and essentially the horse barn with the chandeliers they move in. Anyway, that kind of money I'm talking about. Well, he was he was quoted in this article about how he personally knew 58 dairy farmers were out of business in September or August, one of the 2 months. And I'm telling you, David, that stuff is getting back from Wisconsin to Trump and saying, hey, bleep, we carried this state for you. Now look what you're doing to us. What's the matter with you? I have to believe the feedback from the field, I'll say, in the last month has been dramatic to the White House. It has to have been. And how can it not be when an election coming up? And
I think you know it's pervasive. I mean, I happened to go see Michael Moore's movie Fahrenheit 11/9 last night. And I mean, you know, he's very anti-Trump and in a lot of respects, I think over the top. But you know, he did, and he has this knack of, you know, taking movie clips and clipping them together to make his argument, and, you know, editing profusely. So I'm not saying, you know, this is it, and, you know, whatever. But they did show, you know, teacher strikes in, you know, West Virginia and this and that and the other, and some anti-administration stuff in Wisconsin, and the fallout from the, you know, Parkland High School shootings and the like. And, you know, I think it's, It will have an effect at the polls.
Well, I mentioned last week, one thing you learn, Brendan, my attorney buddy, is when you're doing this every day, and even in, I'm sure, dealing with your significant other, it's not what you say, it's what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
is that a fair statement?
That's fair.
I must have made
very fair.
I must have made an out peep last week where Kevin, you know, obviously one of my closest friends and a contributor to the show, as, you know, probably as much as anybody, if not more, you said you pissed off some people in Southwest Michigan because you mentioned that you know, that most Trump supporters don't know what a tariff is. And I never expected this it to be heard that way. What I tried to say was that I had been, shall we say, overwhelmed by Trump supporters that particular weekend, and in every single case, they thought like a tariff. Now, these guys, they were retired employees of somebody else. Okay, so they're not businessmen. Well, a couple guys were pilots, that sort of thing. And I said, you know, and they said, well, no, it's a tariff in their mind was like something you did to Chinese when you don't like them. I said, no, it's not. It's a tax on you that may or may not, depending on the product, filter back to China as you want it to. Some will filter back in all cases, but on a scale of 1 to 10, you never know if it's a 2 going back or an 8 or a 9, because it depends on the product, which, you know, I happen to have studied tariffs a little bit, not like a guy who's doing a treaty, but I never meant to say that Trump supporters don't know what a tariff is. I mean, that was not my, but evidently, that's what came out. So Kevin's friends who own a lot of these small businesses in Southwest Michigan, who I'm guessing are, I don't know how Trump supporter they are, but I'm guessing they're all Republicans, which is fine, are in a manufacturing business. Kevin writes me and says, by the way, these guys have prices going up every day. Don't insult them by saying they don't know what a tariff is. There's no doubt in my mind those guys know what a tariff is because they're writing the check, right? But I never meant to say that they didn't know what it was, because if you're writing a check because of it, I guarantee you, you know more about it than I do. You know, so anyway, it just goes to show you, it's not what you say, it's what is heard, or somehow you say something about a group and it can extend it further. But it only happens once in a while, which isn't bad when we're on every day. But anyway, for those guys, I apologize if I said that. But I'm going to say that there is really pushback in a lot of the Trump supporters' areas. I mean, it goes back to his medical thing, the Obamacare. The one of the worst areas that we're going to get nailed by this were some of the counties in West Virginia, where the average age is 52, and none of these guys are on Medicare, and they're not working. I mean,
and this film, which even though I had some trepidations and I do think it was over the top, I would definitely recommend this film, if nothing else, as eye opener and thought provoking and get your brain cells stimulated. It spent a lot of time on grassroots politics in West Virginia and all these Trump supporters. And again, he edits and chooses what he wants to say. So I'm not saying it's pervasive or, you know, totally meaningful, but, you know, grassroots politicians, you know, coming up literally with no experience and saying, hey, look, you know, we thought we were voting for this and we didn't get that, and we're going to look for something different.
Well, you know, it was... Sometimes, as I was mentioning to Matty, I went up and watched a little of the game last night, and he's extreme, you know, conservative, nice guy. Well, he's a dude, graduated Northwestern, worked for the CPS. And we have our debates, but they're always, you know, very nice, and he's a bright guy. I honestly believe this. If somebody thinks exactly like you do, you don't learn anything from them.
That's correct.
And
I agree with that.
This guy walks up last night and he goes,
I just need to think.
Yeah, he goes, I got a question for you, Chief. Let's not debate the Kavanaugh thing because it's been debated a bazillion different times. I go, fine, let's leave that one alone. He goes, but I have a question. He goes, I know you've brought it up on the show before regarding like campaign financing. Even if this guy is like your bitter enemy, you know, some Democrat, Republican, you know, let's say Schumer versus Grassley, they'll never talk about campaign financing because they've got so many skeletons in the closet. He goes, I'm stunned. You know, I didn't even realize this, David, because I didn't listen to the whole thing. He goes, all they talked about was beer. And now we're going to have this FBI investigation. The term drugs never came up. And he goes, from everything I've read, I'm stunned. Did these guys get together and say, at the end of this FBI investigation, there's going to be a list of 30 people that read like the who's who in American, you know, industry and politics that went to these schools or went to these, whatever the schools are the women went to, that are going to come out, and the last thing we want is all 30 of these people being painted with the drug brush at age 17. So let's stick to beer. Because they did. They didn't mention, even though Kennedy's kid got killed by overdose cocaine at one of these parties, they never, I, I didn't watch every from stem to stern. If somebody, if I'm wrong, somebody please tweet in. This guy says they never mentioned drugs. He goes, how the hell does that happen, Chief? I go, Bob, I have no idea. I'm stunned. I mean, I'm honestly stunned because every article you read about, all they talk about is drugs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who makes these little, okay, guys, we can fight, but we can't go over this line? Who makes that little call, Brendan? I don't know enough about Washington, but somebody must.
Well, you know, there was a time in Washington, too, back in the 80s and 90s, where there were a lot of big drug problems, and cocaine was rampant.
Gee, a lot of rich guys in Congress and their staffers, mm-hmm. People of entitlement doing coke, I'm stunned.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked and appalled.
Here you're winning, sir.
Yeah, here you're winning. So, David, should we buy this? I mean, do we think there's one more coming with China, or is there any place here we want to sell, or we just constantly want to keep rolling our puts up and stay long, but stay careful?
Yeah, it is so crazy because, NASDAQ was the only index higher for the week last week, believe it or not. The others were lower. And for the month, S&P and Dow were higher, and NASDAQ and Russell were lower. So the only thing that I see, really observed strongly in the month of September, traditionally the worst average performing month of the year, was portfolio rotation quick and fast back again and then reverting again. So I think, and it may just be that way. I mean, maybe this Canada thing, puts the market over the top and we're going to just melt up and blast through all, new highs or whatever, but I just, and maybe I'm too much a student of the seasonals, but typically it's second or third week of October. This year might be an exception because all the, fuss and buzz over the elections or whatever. But I still kind of think, it's going to be hard to sell it. It really is with this news and the technicals going from choppy to maybe, going straight up. But I also look at the momentum indicators, and I still like the idea you're extended and looking like divergences and maybe a little bit of topping even with today's rally in the NASDAQ. And the Russell, because it's lagged so much, looks like it's bottoming, and those momentum indicators look like they're just starting to cross positively. So, it hasn't worked. I'll be the first to say, I've been liking this for a week, week and a half, but I still, if you want to be bullish, I like the Russell on, 2-3% breaks, and if you want to be protective, I wouldn't say necessarily all out short, I still like shorting the NASDAQ on rallies.
What, I'm concerned about my gold and silver, but I'll tell you this, I am real happy I didn't sell calls in this XLE. If anything, I want to pile on the XLE because the first time I'm saying this, and I don't know, David, you and I have talked, we've talked on the air, if I had two people that somebody dropped me like $90 bazillion and said, here, get two specialists to go out and just, find companies, individual companies, I would go to two spots. One would be the medical stuff like you like, because I actually think that you can pick winners in there if you know what the hell you're talking about, which I don't. Or this oil, this natural gas, talk about confirming these stocks going up. This is 309. It was 265.
Two weeks ago, actually, 10 sessions plus the overnight, we were at 274 in the front month, natural gas. We're at 308 now.
It's 10%.
10% in virtually 10 sessions.
So, whatever I'm seeing in the XLE, because oil, it's being confirmed in spades, but it's natural gas. I wish I knew I wish we had somebody who could tell me, okay, if you think natural gas is going to keep going, these are the 7 or 8 out of the 20 oil companies you want to buy. I'm sure there are people that can do that.
I'm sure there's an ETF.
Well, but I'm saying though, we've seen the laggards. Exxon's been a laggard. Schlumberger's been the biggest laggard. But I got to believe that they're more entrenched in the gas than they are in the oil, especially because they seem to have been a little late in getting to the two different areas where they do the what do you call it? What's the place in Texas? Permian.
Permian.
But it seemed for a lot of the time, oil went up and natural gas didn't went anywhere. People were wondering, why aren't these stocks going up? Well, now they're both going up. So I got it.
This move in natural gas, I heard you on the opening what it was, and it's significant, and it's not all that extended technically yet.
Can you think of any reason why it was up 8% last night? Does it have anything to do with the Canada thing?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we weren't putting a tariff on natural gas going up there, were we?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, Tommy Shanahan would be the best. Yeah, we might have know that that was a stumbling block in the trade agreement. I do know that.
Well, whatever it is, that's a big bounce. And so I mean, it seems like now you want to be. I don't know that you can just buy the whole market. I mean, I don't know. What do you think of GE this morning? They bounced
it. No, and you know what? I do like your idea. I mean, still, it's been the leader, and, you know, I don't intend to chase rallies, but I think healthcare and biotech, I mean, there's, and I don't, in full disclosure, don't own any of this Amarin, A-M-R-N, with supposedly some drug that dramatically has effect on heart disease or whatever, and, oh, it's a fly-by-night, they don't make money or whatever. Well, that's fine, but the stock's gone from $3.50 to $17, and I don't own any, and I'm not recommending chasing it, but it's an example of, you know, and it's boom or bust. You know, you fail a stage two or stage three trial, then they go bust. But, you know, it's a good place to be, and maybe, you know, XBI or IBB or whatever, some of these biotech ETFs, you know, on weakness are good values, because, you know, that's a place you can be defensive and offensive at the same time.
Well, the guys who were, Brennan, help me with this. Who are the dudes that, and last week we were sniffing that they have a competing treatment to the guys that have the Hep C treatment that costs $80,000, that it's only going to cost like 10 or 15 or 20. So the guys who make the Hep C, which I should know the name of, it's $80,000.
Yeah, there's a few of them. Down. I mean, I know AbbVie and Abbott have some, but there's some newer ones as well.
Well, there's a lot that treat the symptoms. There was only the one that actually was the cure, and it was like $80,000.
Right, right.
But I think there might be another one. Did you hear it? Did you hear that too, Brennan, that there was one that was like a fourth of the cost or something?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, Gilead also is coming out with a generic version that's going to cost less.
Well,
so they're literally planning on competing with themselves.
Well, there are no, you know, they're nowhere near 17 years, are they? I mean, if they have, they had a, I mean, I can't believe they are.
I don't think so. But again, just because of competing ones, even if their treatment's not cures, they feel a need to come out with a generic, and it's going to be available soon.
Well, I think they, as stupid as this sounds, I think they realize it's only costing them $2,000 to make, and there's people that can afford $10,000 and can't afford the 80, and they can make money off them too.
I mean, and even the 80s come down to 56.
Yeah, well, I can tell you stories about kickbacks in the supply chain, so we say.
You're right.
That maybe we shouldn't tell on the air. But anyway, so by and large, all right, give us a call here, David. What are we thinking? I don't know. You can't chase this natural gas here, I don't think.
No, I don't know. I like the healthcare. I like the biotech. If we can break the Russell 2-3%, I like
biotech. What do you think about holding 3.04 in a 10-year yield? Now it's going back up again. I don't think we're going down. I think we're going to keep going up. What do you think?
I agree.
Anyway, thank you, David. Thank you, Brennan. Okay. Good job, Matty. SP Futures up 1450. Dow up 169. It was over 200, but still pretty darn
Cubs
high.
Cubs and Brewers.
Cubs and Brewers, 12 o'clock.
Who do you like?
Go Cubs. I like the Cubs, but I don't know about
Brennan?
The five-game series.
I like the Cubs.
All right, I like the Brewers today.
Oh, God.
I hope I'm wrong.
Hope you get to go, Matty. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.